sheriff's office investigating a homicide. Breaking news in Lee County right now to start your Friday morning. A death investigation underway right now.
Tonight, a new investigation into one of the most notorious unsolved murders.
Homicide cases in Lee County are still unsolved.
I'm Lee County Sheriff Carmine Marcino. The fact is, some homicide cases go unsolved or cold every single year. These victims have no justice, and their families have no closure. Here in Lee County, Florida, we use every resource available to solve these crimes, including this podcast. We will not tolerate those who committed these crimes to walk among us any longer. As sheriff, I promise to bring these criminals that committed these crimes to justice. I'll be opening these case files to you, the listener, with the hope that we will uncover a witness, fact, or evidence not previously reported. So please listen, and you just might hold a clue to help us close this case. This is Seeking Closure.
Seeking Closure.
Lee County's Cold Cases.
The following episode takes us to North Fort Myers, where 32-year-old Eric Duff was brutally murdered in his own home. Eric was no stranger to my deputies and may have been doing something illegal at the time of his death. As your sheriff, I will not let violent crime go unsolved or allow a murderer to walk the streets. In this episode, we will give you every interview, every piece of evidence to see if you can help us find the person or persons responsible for Mr. Duff's death. This is Lee County case number 17-059912, Eric Duff, homicide.
Just north of the Caloosahatchee River is North Fort Myers. North Fort Myers is an unincorporated area of beautiful Lee County, Florida. It is bordered to the west by the city of Cape Coral and to the north by Charlotte County. Interstate 75 runs through North Fort Myers, with access from exit 143, making it a very busy section of the county. A small portion of North Fort Myers is the Lockmore Waterway Estates, located down Orange Grove Boulevard. This area years ago had a golf course, an active marina, and was a very exclusive living community. Today, the area that used to be a golf course is now a wildlife refuge. The marina is full of liveaboard residents, and the clubhouse, well, it was demolished long ago. As you drive through Lockmore Waterway Estates, you will most likely end up on Orange Grove Boulevard. Right off of Orange Grove Boulevard is a street called St. Clair. St. Clair runs all the way east and west across the Waterway Estates. Just off of Orange Grove Boulevard and St. Clair Avenue lies a little cul-de-sac named Guest Court. Guest Court is a small little street with just three houses and a little island for the turnaround. The center house on Guest Court in 2017 was the home of 32-year-old Eric Duff and his roommates. Eric and his roommates were home and on edge in the early morning hours of February 8, 2017. They were all very nervous, and for good reason, as this would be the last time anyone would see Eric Duff alive.
911, what is your emergency?
I think I heard gunshots.
What is the address of the incident, ma'am? Okay, ma'am, calm down. Take a deep breath. Can you tell me where you are?
I think this is St. Clair.
Are you inside the shopping center? Are you inside the store? Where are you?
No.
Okay, ma'am, I'm not understanding you. Take a deep breath. Calm down.
I gotta go.
Ma'am, can you tell me where you are?
Lee County Sheriff deputies were dispatched to the Hancock Bridge Parkway area at 1:05 a.m. on February 8th and yielded negative results. And then, 43 minutes later, they receive another call.
911, what is the emergency?
There is somebody at my front door continually ringing the bell and pounding on my door. Please send me help. Come on,
Are weapons involved or mentioned?
I have one in my hand.
Okay, what kind of weapon do you have in your hand?
I have a pistol.
Stay on the phone with me. Do you know this person? Do you know what he looks like?
I have
like?
No idea who it is. I mean, it's the middle of... What time is it?
2 a.m.
Yeah, exactly.
Is there anyone else in the house?
No.
Are you expecting anyone?
No, hell no.
Okay, stay on the phone with me just one moment. And is he still at the front door?
Yes, he's continually ringing the doorbell.
Okay.
And banging on my door.
Okay. Are you or anyone else in immediate danger?
Well, not yet. He's on the other side of the door, but if he comes through it, he's going to, you know, we're going to have a problem.
I understand. Do not approach the door. I want you to lock yourself in a room so you can remain safely in one side of the house, okay? Do not disturb
anyone. I'm upstairs.
Okay. A deputy will be dispatched as soon as possible. I'm going to remain on the line with you as long as I can until the deputies arrive. Just and tell me when the officers arrive, okay?
Yep.
And do you still see...
I see two patrol cars, and there seem to be, well, there are a few people in the driveway. There are several people in the driveway, I assume.
Several people meaning the deputies?
I'm assuming.
Okay.
I understand. I believe there's a deputy coming to the door. Yeah, there's a deputy at the door.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Everything's okay. We've got
her on the table. She's your new best friend.
Okay, I'll let you go now. Thank you.
Operator, thank you so, so much. People like you are very worthwhile. I do appreciate it. I don't know how much you know that, but...
That's no problem. I hope you have a good night, sir. Thank you.
Multiple units are now being dispatched to the North Fort Myers area to locate the location of the gunshots. Deputies would arrive at Alan Blackwell's house, which happens to be about 1 mile away from Guest Court. Upon their arrival, they've located a white female named Tasha Shrove. Tasha would inform the deputies of the shooting and direct them to the Guest Court address. Upon arrival at Guest Court, deputies would find 32-year-old Eric Duff dead from multiple gunshot wounds. Deputies would immediately notify Major Crimes and Crime Scene Techs to the Guest Court address, as these strange calls just turned into a homicide. Lee County Sheriff's Office Major Crimes Unit would arrive on the scene and begin canvassing the neighbors. One neighbor remembers seeing a white Cadillac in the driveway the night before the homicide. And another neighbor heard gunshots at around 1:30 a.m. Detectives now need to know more about who lived in the house on Guest Court, starting with the victim, Eric Duff. Eric Duff was a man trying to get his life together. He was rebuilding his relationship with his daughter and his family. His father, Dennis Duff, and his sister were interviewed by Crime Stoppers.
When I walked in that house and saw where all the blood was and everything, I've relived that a million times in the last 2 years because I walked in and I could just imagine what had happened there.
On the night of February 8, 2017, detectives had to break the news to the Duff family that Eric had been murdered in the house he'd just moved into a few weeks prior. It came at a time in Eric's life when everything seemed to be falling into place, between being a father to building relationships with those closest to him.
He didn't deserve to be murdered like this and taken away from his family and his little girl. He didn't deserve it.
Although Eric was a father, a son, and a brother, he was also a known meth dealer in Southwest Florida. Eric was 32 years old at the time of his death. His prior arrests include drug possession, resisting, and a few other charges over the course of his life. He had just moved into the Guest Court address a few weeks prior and was doing his best to get his life back on track. But the demons that possessed Eric in the past were coming back to haunt him. He had just got sold fake drugs and taken for $1,600 a day before his death. A man named Dredd was the one who sold him the fake drugs, and Eric was determined to make him repay that bad deal. Detectives learned this by sitting down with Eric's girlfriend, Tasha Shrove. Remember Tasha? That's the woman that frantically was knocking on Mr. Blackwell's door the night of Eric's murder. Tasha was just 16 years old, a runaway, a drug abuser, and her own mother said that she was hard to control. Tasha sat down with Lee County Sheriff's Office Major Crimes Unit. She's a little frazzled at the time of the interview.
How long ago was Eric robbed? Was it at that house? Did they call the cops? No. Who was it that robbed him?
I don't know, some black dude named Dredd.
Some black dude named Dredd? Okay. Where does Dredd live at, do you know?
I don't even know.
Was it just Dredd that did it, or was someone else with him?
I think there were other people.
When they robbed them, or tonight?
Tonight.
Could you hear them talking?
No.
Did you hear anybody say anything at any point?
I ran out there and saw what the and one of them chased me and then just stopped.
Where'd he chase you to?
I ran into the back bedroom.
Okay. What did the guy look like that chased you?
I don't know. He had a mask on, but he was black.
Did you see a gun? What kind of gun was it? Was it a small one, like a pistol?
No.
Was it big or small?
I don't know.
You don't know? He had a mask on. What kind of clothes was he wearing?
I don't know.
You don't know. I understand you were scared, okay? You're doing awesome. This is all going to help us, okay? Have you ever met Dredd before? No.
Dasha was sitting there, trembling, telling the story to detectives how she was almost killed right along with Eric that night. But rarely do detectives get a witness that was there at the time of the shooting, so they drove on with their questioning of Tasha.
Did you only see one guy in the house? Or did you see other people?
I saw one that chased me, and then Dredd before that all happened.
When did you see Dredd before that?
He wasn't there before everybody came in, I guess.
But he was there during the issue that happened? During the shooting? Like right before it happened?
He was a part of it.
Okay. What is Dredd?
People.
How do you know it was Dredd?
How do I know?
Uh-huh. Do you know what
because
he looks like?
Because he robbed us of $1,600.
During the course of the questioning, detectives learned a few other people that might have been there during the time of the homicide. Their names are Junior, Kat, Ryan, and Nikki. But were they there at the time of Eric's murder?
Where were Junior and Kat and Ryan and Nikki when this all happened tonight?
Nikki and Ryan were outside.
Like out front or out back?
Out where the pole is.
So out back of the house?
Keeping an eye out to see if anyone was coming up on the house.
Okay.
Obviously, they didn't do a good job.
Okay.
And Junior and Kat were in their bedroom.
Okay, did any of them come running inside when they heard things?
They didn't.
We'll get to who the other four are a little bit later in this episode. Now detectives were assuring Tasha that she was safe and hoping to get the tip that would lead to the arrest of Eric Shooter.
Do you remember seeing outside at all tonight? What was outside?
Before any of that happened, I saw a Durango drive by.
Okay.
And I got gut feeling like something's up because it slowed down.
Okay. Did it stop in front of your house? No, just slow down. Could you see inside the Durango?
The street. They slowed down.
Uh-huh.
And before that, we were walking back to the house. And we were walking back from the gas station.
Which gas station?
The Mumble.
The one on Hancock?
Yeah.
Okay.
And we were waiting to meet Dredd. Mm-hmm. And he was coming to the house. So whenever we were walking back and we were on our street, we saw a Durango drive by.
You know what color it was?
A gray.
Gray Durango.
A gray Dodge Durango. Another great tip for detectives to work off of. Who was driving this gray Dodge Durango? Was it stalking the guest courthouse, waiting for the perfect time to commit the murder? Detectives are now learning that the murder had some history with the $1,300 robbery. But who committed that robbery? Detectives wanted to know if Tasha knew.
Who was it that came over and took the money?
Dredd and this kid. Everybody calls Jit.
More names were being added to the persons of interest list, and the case was less than 24 hours old. Tasha's statements were starting to show promising leads in the case. As detectives continued the questioning of Tasha, they wanted to know what they did throughout the day.
Did you guys ever go to bed last night, or no? Were you up most of the night?
I stayed up. Okay. I wanted to go to sleep, but then I heard that Jordan was coming over, and I had to be aware.
Okay, well, what do you mean you had to be aware?
Because, like, he robbed them.
So?
Robbed us, and...
Why was Eric meeting up with someone that had robbed him before?
He was having them come over to the house.
But
that's why he's dead there, because of Dredd and his friends.
Tasha was convinced that the man named Dredd and his friend were the suspects detectives should be looking for. But there was one question the detectives needed answered.
And again, no one's going to get in trouble for this. Was there some kind of drug dealing going on? What was the point of them coming and going from the house? Is there drugs in the house?
They were going to straighten it up. Like, they were going to... Supposedly, Dredd was coming over to fix things and make things right with him and just pay him back. And
okay.
I had a gut feeling.
Is that what Eric was telling you that Dredd was coming over to do?
As the investigation continues, detectives wanted to know more about the gray Durango.
I saw a car, the Durango, and it was stopping really slowly, but it kept going, and then...
Was it just you and Eric walking?
Yeah. And then we ran to the house.
Did Eric say anything when he saw a truck?
Yeah, he said, that's probably them, because I was even saying, like, that's probably them, because I had a gut feeling, and... Okay. When we got into the house, we called him. He didn't really answer until the phone was about to hang up. Mm-hmm. And then he said hello and hung up. And then he called back, I think. And he came to the house. He walked in the house. He wanted to talk to Eric alone.
Mm-hmm.
Told me that I had to get out. He didn't really tell me that, but Eric was like, please excuse us. Like, mm-hmm. We have to talk.
Okay.
And they talked for a little while. Not even 20, 30 minutes. Okay. And Eric brought him a cup of water.
The only suspect we have at this time was a man named Dredd, but we don't know his real name or what he looks like. So who was this man who came to Eric's house, and what did he look like?
The guy that came in the house to talk to Eric, you said was Dredd, right? What did he look like when he walked in?
He had little short dreads.
Like, ones that stick up? Were they short coming down?
They were kind of like hanging down.
Okay. Did he have a beard or mustache or anything?
I think he had like a little beard.
Okay.
Tasha said she heard a loud sound, like a door being kicked in, and then moments later, the shooting. Some of the things detectives learned from Tasha? The roommates Ryan and Nikki were out back watching for anyone who might sneak up. They were sent there by Eric. The other roommates, Junior and Kat, were in the bedroom at the time of the murder. The intruders came in through the front door, came in with force. Tasha said that she heard a loud sound that sounded like a door being kicked in moments before the shooting. But what did the other roommates do at the time of the shooting?
Was anyone still at the house when you came back out? Who was there?
Same people.
Were the bad guys still there?
Mm-hmm.
They were gone. So Ryan and Nikki were there, and Junior and Kat were there. Where were they all at when you came back out of the room?
I came out when I heard the banging noise.
Mm-hmm.
And when I got chased in the bedroom, he didn't follow me all the way in there. I sat there for about like 3, 4, or 5 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
And I came back out and I started crying because I saw that Eric was laying there.
Mm-hmm.
And then I went and fucking screamed Junior's name. And I said, why the fuck didn't you shoot him out? I know you heard that. Mm-hmm. And he said, oh, I thought it was Eric shooting off a gun or something. And I was like...
Where were Ryan and Nikki then when you came back out here?
Outside.
Still?
They hadn't come back home. We were not there. Said, yo, we gotta fucking go. Eric's dead. That's what Junior and her girlfriend said.
They said they had to go?
They were saying that we all had to, like, get out of there because he's going through something with the court system.
There is one thing Tasha said that detectives would most likely follow up on.
You mentioned earlier that Junior and Caitlin had gone through Eric's pockets and stuff. Did they do that then or when you guys came back?
When I came back.
When you came back. And at what point did Junior and Kat go into Eric's pockets? Was that when you guys went back to the house then? Okay. And you said that Junior took his cell phone out of Eric's pocket?
I don't know if it was in his pocket.
Oh, okay. So at some point he wound up with Eric's cell phone, though? Okay. How did you know it was Eric's cell phone and not Junior's?
He had Eric's phone.
Okay. And I just want to make sure that for sure you knew that it was Eric's and not someone else's. What kind of phone does Eric have?
An LG Stylo.
An LG Stylo. What did Junior do with his phone?
He ended up tossing it in the water.
Okay. Do you know where at?
Somewhere in the community where I was picked up.
Okay. How did you, so you guys came back, he gathered all of the stuff up in the safe. You said he tossed, or that, not Junior, but Kat tossed the safe off into the wooded area on the side of the street there. So you guys continued walking and you wound up in this neighborhood.
I was following them because they kept saying they were going to leave me if I didn't call the cops in like 30 minutes, 20 minutes, 10.
They wanted you to call the cops? Okay.
And I said, I'm scared and you guys can't leave me.
They were telling Natasha to call the police, but they disposed of the evidence? Detectives would wrap up their time with Tasha, but would be speaking to her again. Now detectives were ready to talk to the other roommates that were in the house at the time of the murder. They'd make contact with Caitlin Gillespie, a.k.a. Kat, and picked her up to bring her into the headquarters of the Lee County Sheriff's Office. Caitlin had just turned 23 at the time of Eric's death, and it was actually her birthday the day he died. She had prior arrest for drug offenses and was already telling a story inside the cruiser with detectives.
Junior, my husband, had made contact with his sister for me, Tiffany Duff. And he's just as scared as I am, you know, more so because he wasn't there. He couldn't do nothing about it, you know.
Junior was?
Yeah, he was outdoors. He was getting me. It was my birthday. I was 23. He was out getting me something.
She told detectives that Junior wasn't there, but they already know he was. And why was Caitlin lying for her husband, Junior? Detectives believe that she lied because her husband was on probation at the time of the murder. Detectives continued to listen to the questionable story Caitlin was telling. She then told detectives that she saw Eric fire the first rounds.
And then I heard Eric speak. Eric called him a little and I think he shot first and fired his weapon. His little gun or whatever. This was how I didn't see nothing, I only heard. Because I was in the hallway behind the wall on the first zigzag. And there was a silence. And then I heard Tasha yell. I don't know what she yelled. And I heard silence again for another couple of seconds. And then I heard sound like firecrackers. And like going, poop, I'm loading. And then all of a sudden, she yelled for me. And I came rushing out, you know, thinking it was open, that it was safe. That the guy was gone, front door was open. His room had been ransacked. She was scared, she could barely talk. I didn't know what to do, so I grabbed her, you know, not knowing if the guy was coming back, because she saw him, and I checked Eric's pulse, and he was gone. And I took her, we ran, as we were running, I called 911. After that, I tossed my phone. We ran to the nearest neighborhood. I made sure so we were deep in there where they couldn't gate it, where he couldn't get in. The other guy that was circling. And I made her go. She didn't want to. She didn't want to leave me. I didn't know what to do. I'd never been in this situation. and I made her knock on someone's door. And so they opened, I stood there across the street, so they opened the door and I left.
Are you okay?
I'm a little shook.
Are you all or anything?
I'm just, my feet hurt from running over her office and stuff. She couldn't hop a fence by herself. And, I was more worried about her than I was myself. I mean, I always been like that. Eric was a good guy. And I thought I was pregnant, I came to him. You know, Marcel has his probation stuff going on. And, you know, he's just as scared as I am.
As detectives continued with Caitlin, they began to find out more about the events that happened leading up to the death of Eric Duff. Kat was telling detectives about what she heard on that fatal night.
All of a sudden, I heard Eric yell something, and then I believe that Eric shot him for robbing him, and which I think why he wanted them to come to the house, so he'd be in his own house, you know. And after that, there was silence. And then I heard Tasha yell something. It almost sounded like, kill him. I don't know that for sure. It was a blur. And whatever it was distracted Eric, I'm assuming. And I assume he got killed with his own gun. I think the guy took the gun and shot him, unloaded the clip. I heard the clip unload. I was hiding. If you walk down the hallway towards my room, in that first zigzag, I was behind that wall. And then,
she described their exit from the residence.
All of a sudden, I heard Tasha yell for me. I assumed, I was hoping nobody was out there. I ran out there. Eric was lying by the door. It looked like his hand was out. Looked like he was looking out the window or something. I don't know what he was doing. And I grabbed her. I grabbed the tablet and my phone. And she grabbed Eric's phone and his wallet. And we went out my window, jumped the fence, and ran to the nearest neighborhood. I called the police once I got towards Mobile.
In order to give you the full picture, here is the barely audible call to 911 Caitlin made.
911, what is your emergency?
Hi, I think I heard gunshots.
What is the address of the incident, ma'am?
I don't know. I was just outside.
Okay, ma'am, calm down. Take a deep breath. Can you tell me where you are?
I know, I'm not in Mobile, I'm in Fargo. I think this is St. Clair.
Are you inside a shopping center? Are you inside a store? Where are you?
No, I'm in the road.
Okay, ma'am, I'm not understanding you. Take a deep breath. Calm down.
I gotta go.
Ma'am, can you tell me where you are?
She seems to be disguising her voice on the call, and she wasn't very helpful with where to send deputies.
We didn't know the address. Eric said it was better if we didn't know the address, because nobody needed to know the address. He wanted it to be a little safe house.
Okay.
So, I couldn't get the address on the phone. I just couldn't really tell you what I was by. And I waited across the street until she knocked on the door, and when I saw the door open and her talking to people, I took off. I took off over towards the Cape Bridge, towards Motel 6.
The detectives would continue their interview with Caitlin Gillespie. She continued to tell detectives how Junior wasn't there at the time of the murder and left 30 minutes prior to the murder. But Tasha says Junior was there. But was Junior there or not? And at this time, detectives learned that Junior's real name is Martell Gray. As the interview continued, they once again heard the name Dredd, but this time with a twist.
And my exes had done some business with him. My ex had done some business with Dredd.
Okay.
His name was Austin Spencer, my ex.
Okay.
And I had thought Dredd was dead, like, to be honest, because I had heard a couple weeks prior that from Austin, he had hit me up and told me for the robbery, for all that, and said that you remember Dredd. And I was like, yeah, I kind of remember him. He was like, yeah, back when we were selling. I was like, oh. I was like, yeah, I kind of remember that. He goes, he's dead. I said, oh. And I remember hanging up the phone, like, I didn't really know him that well. I didn't care, you know?
Yeah.
But yeah,
you know what Dredd's real name is?
I don't
know.
Anyone ever call him anything different?
No, I just know he's Dread. He sells drugs and he's a hitman.
Okay.
The only thing he gives a f*** about is money.
How do you know he's a hitman?
Just because I heard from Austin. I mean, I know a couple of people that said they had hired him. I don't know what for. I'll ask questions, things that I want to know the answers to.
Okay, all right.
She says Dredd is a hitman drug dealer who might be dead. Now pay attention to the next question detectives ask Caitlin, because it's a statement that will come back to haunt her.
Other than checking for Eric's pulse, did you move him at all, or did you remove anything from the house when you left? Did you take anything with you?
I just took the tablet that I have and my charger.
Your tablet and your charger?
She had a black bag with a wallet. I don't know if it was his. Someone's wallet was in it.
Now, what made you think it was his wallet, Eric's wallet?
Had I seen it before? He didn't normally keep his cash in his wallet. He always kept it rubber band in his pocket, and she normally held the brown wallet.
Okay. And you mentioned that she had grabbed his cell phone also.
I don't know if she grabbed his cell phone, but the cell phone was not there. And I think that they took the cell phone and the gun, and I don't know what happened to it, but I was scared that they were going to find me through the cell phone, which is why I ditched my cell phone.
Since Caitlin wanted to lie and tell detectives that it was just her and Tasha in the house during the murder, they wanted to know if Tasha said anything to her.
Did Tasha tell you anything about what happened?
Oh, she said that this black dude, this Dread, and we had, when I told her to go up to the house, I told her, you know, she was scared because there was drugs in the house and all that stuff. I said, it doesn't matter at this point. I said, you got one or two ways you can go about this, Tasha. And I told her, I said, if they come get me, I'm going to tell the truth. Because I'm innocent. I didn't do anything. We were in the wrong place at the wrong time. I said, you can tell them that you just got there. And you saw him dead. You ran. I said, I gave him my full name. She didn't know my full name. I said, we've only known each other a couple weeks since we moved into the house. I said, you can give him my full name if you want. And I'm his roommate. He told him I was there. So I told him the truth. I don't care. Gave him my full name, she went to the door. I don't know what she said to you guys. And that's another, Martel was worried about me coming in because he thought you might try to arrest me for it. And I said, I'm not worried about it. I don't need a lawyer. I didn't do anything wrong. This is why I don't have one here now.
During the interview, Caitlin gave an explanation on why they ran to the gated community. There was a white Chrysler 300 circling the area, and Caitlin tells detectives that Tasha identified the driver as Dredd, but also tells detectives she only knows one person who has a Chrysler 300 in Pine Manor.
Did Tasha tell you anything about Dredd or about what happened between them?
She identified him as the driver in the car that was circling us.
She said that was the same person. And he was in a Chrysler?
It was a Chrysler, silver Chrysler 300.
Okay. And,
there's only one silver Chrysler in Pine Manor that I know of.
Okay.
And, his name is Cam.
Cam?
Yeah, I don't know his full name. He's black, too, Haitian, skinny, winky.
Detectives during the course of this interview find out that Caitlin was pregnant at the time and that Martel Gray is the father. Martel and Caitlin met about 6 months prior to her release from jail. She had just moved to Alabama, but returned to be with Martel just 2 months prior to the night of Eric's death. And here's a kicker, they had been married just 2 weeks and had yet to file their marriage license with the clerk of courts. Then, Caitlin told detectives something else that seemed to be different than they already heard.
So Ryan and, what was his girlfriend's name?
Nikki.
Ryan and Nikki.
I think it's Nicole.
So they were kind of the transport for him?
Yeah, they were.
Were they home at all during the day?
I mean, they were home earlier that morning, but they had said they had stuff to do and left.
Okay.
So.
Do you know if they came home at all that day, or?
Not that I know of.
When was the last time that you saw them or had a conversation with them at all?
And personally, when I left there, I went, I said I got a ride down here, talked to a few people that I knew, and I was looking for them.
Yeah.
Trying to figure out where they were so we could meet up and figure out what happened, or if they were there or if they weren't there, because sometimes you don't know. Like, their window's broken, too. Like, sometimes they come in through the window.
Yeah.
Sometimes I come in through my window just because I don't want people to know I'm there. I mean, so
Now, by this time, detectives have had multiple interviews with multiple witnesses, which you will hear in just a moment. But it's important to know that sometimes interviews are going on at the same time and not always in the same location. So we do our best to give you the story as it happens. Keeping that in mind, detectives now know that Caitlin's story isn't truthful because Martell, aka Junior, was there and so was Ryan and Nicole. So detectives take a small break and go back into the room with Caitlin.
I want to talk to you a little bit more. I want to give you an opportunity to kind of clarify some of the things that you told me, okay? Before we do that, I want to make sure that you do understand that we have spoken to everyone that was in the house already, okay? So I know that there's some of the details that you're leaving out right now, okay? And I know it's probably because you're a little bit scared still. I know it's probably because you don't want to, you feel like you're going to hem Junior up or something. Okay, but I want to make sure that you understand that not being honest with us right now is only to your detriment and only to Junior's detriment at this point. Okay, so what I want you to do is I want you to go back over what you've told me already and I want you to fill in those holes for me because I know that there are some holes, okay? Can you do that for me so that I...
Spoken to Ryan and Nicole?
Huh?
Have you spoken to Ryan and Nicole?
I have. We've spoken to Tasha. We've spoken to Ryan. We've spoken to Nicole. Okay? And I know that there's some holes there, okay? And I understand. I understand why it's a bit scary, okay? I can, you know, appreciate that for sure, okay? And I appreciate the fact that you want to come in and talk to me about it, but it is important that when you do talk to us about it, that you tell us the whole truth.
Junior,
and I don't think you've lied.
Junior
so
was there. He was with me in the room.
Martell was there. The story the detectives then hear from Caitlin was pretty much the same they had already heard from Tasha. But what was her reasoning for returning to the crime scene?
What was the purpose of coming back to the house after you guys had left?
Junior didn't want him to go down like that. Out like that. With drugs in the house and stuff.
Okay.
And needles in his room and stuff. Tasha was worried about that. She didn't want his parents to see him like that. So we went back. He was just lying there. He was looking out the window. And all I could keep thinking of was, what was his last thought?
Did anyone touch him when you guys came back to the house then?
Well, we checked his pulse.
No one checked his pockets or anything?
They were already flipped out. If there was money, I would have taken it because I don't have any. That's why I don't have any shoes. I don't have nothing. All my stuff is at the house. That's all I have.
I understand that that Junior had his cell phone at some point.
Junior didn't have a phone? We shared one?
Had Eric's cell phone at some point.
He did have Eric's cell phone. And there was a lot of numbers in that phone that he was worried about. And he tossed it into a different lake than my phone. And he tossed mine.
Which one did he toss his into?
Probably the one before it. I don't know. There were so many lakes. But they're the same lake for all we know. We were just, I don't know. I have no idea.
Detectives learned at this time that there was someone else who was set to move into the guest court address.
There was someone else that stayed, was just about to move into the room across the hall from us.
Who was that?
His name's Action.
Does Action have a real name? Or?
Who knows his real name?
Had he moved in yet? Or?
He had put his TV in there. He did business. Can't even tell Junior that I told you his name.
Okay.
Like, it has to come from someone else.
Right.
That he was there. Like, I'll get murdered. No, not from Junior. Junior would protect me. But if Action found out, I'd be
They would ask more questions about this man they just found out about named Action.
So what is it about Action that has you so worried? What's his deal?
He's even bigger than Eric. Eric thought he was untouchable because he sold a couple ounces a day and had a gun.
Action deals bigger than that, then, or
way bigger. Pounds, kilos, not ounces.
Was he doing it out of the house there with Eric, or
no.
Were they like business partners?
No,
no. What was he moving in for then?
Safe house, just like everyone else.
Okay.
And his wife, they fight a lot.
his daughter just got arrested, and he's got a lot going on for a vehicular homicide or something. A lot going on right now in his life, and sometimes he just needs, because he was staying at hotels.
Yeah.
Just like us. Just get us down to the hotel hop.
Does his wife kick him out, or what's the...
I think he just leaves.
Oh, okay.
Before he does something. He did a lot of time. I heard he did a lot of time. He's like 15 or 18 years or something, 19 years, something like that, in jail, prison. For attempted murder or something, I don't know.
Is he a white guy?
Black guy. But he doesn't mess with Pine Manor. He just is in North Fort Myers. He doesn't really deal with anybody. He didn't even sell to us, you know? Like, it wasn't like that with Action. It was a... He was friends with Martel, and that's how I met him. And Martel was giving him a solid by letting him move in and use it as a safe house instead of having to go to hotels and stuff, because that adds up.
Was, you know, Martel and him were friends? Did Martel help him out at all or anything? Is that why he's kind of feeling loyal to him, or?
Action pulled Martel out of a... Someone shot up a car one day and didn't even know Action. Action didn't know him. Action just happened to be driving by. It was late. Martel got sprayed, hit in the leg. There were some other people in the car. But then everybody else got shot. And I don't know the whole story.
Was that here in Lee County, or?
Yeah, it was in Lee County. I don't know the whole story, like I said. All I know is that Action pulled over, put Junior in the car, and took him. You know, took him somewhere.
So he feels like he owes him
loyalty.
Yeah.
I know Action.
Could have friends like that.
I know Action didn't do it, because I would have recognized his voice off rip. And actually never threatened Tasha or any woman. And him and Eric didn't have beef, you know? It wasn't like that with him. And he wasn't there when it went down, but he was there earlier the day before, you know?
Yeah.
And he always left stuff there in his room, didn't have it, his broken window right now, and it had no lock on it, so he had left it in our room. And Junior, I glanced at the IDs and looked through them, counted them, because if something came up missing, we didn't want to be the ones who said, oh, that's how many was there.
Gotcha.
So I really don't know much about the IDs. But, you know, the Junior tried to keep me out of everything.
How old of a guy is Action?
He's probably about 40.
You're like a father figure to Martel then?
Everyone.
Yeah.
He does things on such a larger scale, though, like $1,600 has changed to him. And that's what he had told Eric. He said, hey, you've been worth it. But that much money to someone like Eric, that's a lot of money.
Yeah.
Someone like Action's change.
I said Action's bigger as far as, you know, what
he's
he deals
small,
in.
Yeah, when he deals, yeah, he's a small guy.
Yeah.
Not a big guy. Smaller than Eric. Smaller than Junior.
Like in weight or height?
In height, head weight.
Yeah.
But when he talks, it's like, you listen. It's like, well, he's got one of those voices that just grabs you, you know, like you... He's very... I spent 2 weeks in a hotel with him, hotel hopping, while all that... His Junior had a curfew, a 10 p.m. curfew at the time, and he was trying to really follow probation.
Yeah.
He was trying to really do the right thing. And I had nowhere to go. So he took me to Action's, and I stayed in the hotel with Action. Like, you can't even talk as a woman in front of him. You can't talk without being spoken to or being introduced or allowed to speak. Like, it's very... And you listen. He always has his gun on him. Always.
What kind of gun does he carry?
357 or something.
Yeah.
It's big. Yeah.
What color is it?
It's like gray or something, or silver. I've only seen it a couple times, so he always has it in his face.
How does he get around also?
He has a driver. Sometimes he drives, sometimes he cars in his wife's or daughter's name. I mean, I don't know their names, so.
What's his primary vehicle?
He was driving like a black Escalade, but the other day he had like a silver Cadillac. I don't know, it changes, the rentals, you know? He's gonna change it every day.
Detectives now know who the owner of the Cadillac was, seen by a neighbor the day before. They wrapped up this one with Caitlin and worked on getting Martell to headquarters to give his statement. Detectives were now able to sit down with Nicole Sullivan. According to Nicole, she had just moved into the guest court home with Eric and was supposed to sign a lease that day. Here is Nicole's account of what happened that night.
Last night, were you home all night?
Yeah.
Okay.
It was like... It was like around 12, 11:30. I was laying in bed and I was just thinking I have to get out of my dress and my pajamas. And Eric had said he was having somebody stop by and never really asked too much any questions. neither did he. We don't know who it was. My boyfriend and I were out. We were out on the lanai smoking a cigarette. All of a sudden we heard like a heated argument. And then all of a sudden, it was just like bang, 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 bang. Like, and then we got down and we ran out the screen door. Here's the pole. It's the screen door right here. We ran out the screen door and we came and we're like right down by here and say towards the middle of the house now in the back. We're hiding down and then another range of shots came out. Bang, 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 like again. There was a pause in the middle.
It would seem that Nicole, Ryan, Kat Jr., and Tasha were in fear of their lives and were all scrambling to leave the guest courthouse. Not call 911 or wait for emergency vehicles, but flee the scene and leave their roommate and friend dying on the floor.
We all just got in the car and we got up, we pulled out of the driveway and got out of the guest court up to the top where the convenience store is and onto the main street. And all of a sudden, who the hell ever, that girl that lived down the hall with that other guy, I said, stop the car, we're going back, stop. Like, and my woman's like, no, like we're like ducking, like driving, like we didn't know where these people are. Scared. She demanded to get out, demanded he stop the car, and he's like, oh my god, like, good, like, get out, you know what I mean? And they didn't say anything. They, all three of them hopped out the car and wanted to go back to our house. They wanted us to stay and wait for them. They were like, no freaking way, dude.
Okay.
I just left.
The other three would leave the car. Nicole and Ryan would continue on, looking for a phone to call the police. They were scared of the killers following them, so they went and spent the rest of the night in a Walmart parking lot in Estero, a community about 30 minutes south of the guest court residence. As they woke up, they went to Ryan's mom's house, had breakfast and a discussion, and then decided to return to guest court and speak to Lee County deputies. The statements you have been hearing came from those interviews that morning, but detectives needed clarity on one of Nicole's statements. You see, Tasha told us already that Nicole and Ryan were lookouts.
Did you guys go outside because Eric asked you to, or just to smoke a cigarette, or what was the circumstances around that? I understand there may have been some conversation about that.
Yeah, I think he said, go check out back or something. Make sure no one's out there or something like that. I'm like, let's just go smoke a cigarette and just stand out back.
Okay. Did he tell you why he thought there might have been someone out there, or did he seem like he was scared?
He was acting weird all day.
Okay.
He was just acting like weird and freaked out. And
all day?
All day.
As Nicole's first statement wrapped up, she informed detectives that Eric had a small black gun that was in Tasha's possession earlier that night. Eric took it from Tasha right before Eric's company arrived. Now detectives were eager to talk to Ryan, Nicole's boyfriend. We should also note that Nicole could not remember Ryan's name throughout her entire interview. Nicole and her boyfriend, Ryan Obrisky, had voluntarily came to the Lee County Sheriff's Office and hoped they could help out. Detectives sat down with Ryan and wanted to know how long he had lived at the guest court residence.
Well, Nikki and I were getting ready to move across to the other coast. We were looking for something temporarily, and they had he was offering like a month-to-month lease.
Mm-hmm.
Help him clean up the place, put some doorknobs and some locks on, and you know, that it wouldn't cost any money to move in. He was expecting some money today, as a matter of fact, to move in and sign some kind of a lease, and then that way we would have somewhere to go. We were not unhappy where we were at before. So.
Okay.
Detectives learned that Ryan was delivering meth and weed and was working to pay off a debt he owed to other drug dealers. But what did Ryan know about that night?
So yesterday you made two runs for him. What time would you say you got done with those?
We finished up at about 12:30.
Okay.
And so we got back and we had something to eat really quick and went to the room. And we were just kind of laying in bed and we heard some kind of banging, loud banging on the doors. She got like she was going to go out there. And I said, no, stay here. You know, I don't know what that is. Stay here. You know, we don't get ball. I don't want to see anything. I knew he said someone was going to come see him later. I don't know what exactly it was about, but he said it was something about making things right or something.
Did he say who that was that was going to come see him?
No, not that I know of. I mean, I want to say his name was like Dredd or something.
Dredd.
Yeah, something like that. I've never even met the guy, seen the guy, have any clue what he would look like. I guess this is a black dude because I heard him. And I could tell usually by dialect. I mean, I'm from Chicago, from the city, so I could tell. For whatever reason, when I walk out, it was there, and he asked Nikki and I to just go out on the back and smoke a cigarette, make sure nobody was, like, creeping around the backyard or whatever.
Was Dredd already there at that point, or was this prior to Dredd getting there?
I'm not sure if he was there or not, but I didn't see him yet, but I heard them as I walk out. There's a back patio door next to Eric's room on the other side of the house coming out of the living room. We walked outside, we were on the lanai, smoking a cigarette, and I had the door open a little bit, and I could hear them talking and walking towards Eric's room.
Now, was it just Dredd and Eric talking, or was there other
people? That's all, just what people I could hear, and I heard Eric call for Natasha.
Okay.
Ask her for something, I don't know what it was, but either to come near him or whatever, he's kind of a little possessive a little bit, you know, and the way he controls her. And then,
could you hear what they were talking about?
No. I didn't hear what they were actually talking about, and then he just said, see, look, it's just, I don't know why he used my name, I never met the guy before, but he's like, see, this is Ryan, he's smoking a cigarette. And I almost was going to look, and then I just shut the door. I was like, I'm just going to shut this door.
Yeah.
And then they were walking, I could hear them walking through Eric's room, and that would be to my left. Nikki was standing around the edge of the pool, and I was like, kind of by the screen door, and things started, you could hear like the levels of voices started to go up. And then there was gunshots, and I grabbed her. We ran out the back of the lanai, and basically I grabbed her and pulled her down on the ground because there was a series of six gunshots. And we stayed down, and then I heard some yelling. I don't know who it was—a guy's voice—and then more gunshots. And that's when we went down to the ground and were kind of hanging by the corner of the house before we go around the fence. And I had her basically sitting there with me. We were just about ready to get up and run when Tasha and the other couple came out of the house running towards us.
Uh-huh. So they came out the back of the house running towards you?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
And then I was like, what's going on here? And he's like, run, run, just go. And I was like, holy shit. And then we jumped the fence on the side of the house. Jumped in my car, my starter's out, so Junior pushed the car.
Okay.
He pushed down the driveway and popped the clutch, and we pulled out of there. As we're pulling out of there, they were talking about having to go back or something, and I wanted no part of it. I just wanted out of there, you know.
Ryan and Nicole can't be sure, but they both speculate that they saw Junior with a gun when he came out back after the shooting. And we find it strange that there were two rounds of gunshots, but only one victim. We found out there was tension between Kat and Tasha, but detectives wanted to know about Eric and Junior.
Outside of the two girls, did Eric and Junior ever have any issues that you don't know about or anything?
There was always some kind of alpha male thing going on with those two, I think, ever since they first met. I think that's a... You know, that's what I don't really know what that's about. You can tell one didn't want to have to answer to another type thing. And I just, don't ask questions. You don't have them. A lot of times they'll just be talking about, oh, this guy doesn't understand what I'm trying to do, and I'm trying to help him. And the same thing comes from the other, but they really want to be in control of everything and everybody.
As detectives wrapped up with Ryan, he gave them permission to search his car since others were in his car. The search was done and evidence was collected. Detectives wanted to find Martell Gray, aka Junior, next. Martell Gray has prior arrests for drug possession, battery, DUI, and firearm possession. He has been arrested for similar charges four times since 2017. Detectives would sit down with Martell Gray, and what they would learn would be interesting to say the least.
Well, I do believe today's Wednesday, Tuesday evening, which would be Eric Duff, told me that the people that ripped him off were some money that was on a deal gone bad. I guess he got some fake stuff. So they were coming back to fix it, and because I'm his roommate, not really, but really, because my girl stays there. My address is right down the road, but like I said, we were friends, so he let me know what was going on, and I told him like it wasn't a good idea to have them come to his house, but for him to go over there, I told him like you should go to a public place. So he was going to go down to, I think it's not Sidelines, it's a bar. So you might be able to get video, because I don't know if he met the person there or how that worked out. It's right past Orange Grove on Hancock, in the plaza that has the CVS in it and the Family Dollar. There's a little restaurant there, something Lanes. But I was getting ready to go to sleep, and he comes back with Tasha, and he says that they're coming over, and there, I was thinking it was more than one person, because he said last time it was four males. I think all of them were black, but I never seen them. So he comes in, he tells me that he wants me to just kind of keep my eye out in case anything's going on sketchy. And Ryan and Nikki was told to go out back. I didn't hear that from his mouth, but that's what they said. And I'm not sure what Tasha was, but I believe that she was in her bedroom. And the way the house is set up, there's a main foyer, and then there's a long hallway with bedrooms, and a kitchen area, and a master bedroom. So she would have been in the master bedroom. And I do believe they were in the kitchen, because I think he might have got some water or something. He was supposed to give him some kind of dope. I don't know if it was like cocaine or if it was methamphetamine. I don't know. Heard one male say, it's some good shit. And Eric said, yeah. And then, I'm right here on the other side of the door, so I didn't want them to know that I was there. In case that did go bad, I'd have the advantage of not knowing for sure if I was there. So I see like some shadows in front of the door, so I let the door crack just in case anybody walked up to the door. I could see like the shadow in front of it. Caitlin was down the hall, because the hall kind of zigzags. It's a huge house. She was in the bedroom area. She didn't know until like almost halfway between them being there. I didn't want to tell her, because I didn't want her to be alarmed or worried. She was in there listening to music. And I heard two gunshots that kind of make me flinch at first. And then I do believe Tasha, she yelled something, but I couldn't make clear what it was. And actually, like, my mind wasn't focused on that. I'm still just recalling that I heard two shots. At first I thought it was one, but I'm almost sure it was two. And then that's when the cat started coming towards me, and I was walking the opposite way down the hallway. And then after a few seconds perspired, we hear it be like the rest of a clip on all like count out. I think it had to be somewhere between 5 and 8 shots. I know Eric had a .22. It was a Smith and, no, I think it was a Beretta. I'm almost sure. Yeah, it was a .22 long. We did not see it there, because actually the gunshots went off. I came down the hallway because I was in my room. I'm trying to think. Like, what do I do now? I didn't want to be there. I didn't know who was there and who wasn't there. I didn't hear a car leave, so they might have took off on foot and had a car parked, like, down the road. I do believe the man's name, or his street name, was either Black or, I think it's so Black. I can find out, because Nikki knows the man. So, I don't know if she knows him personally or through a friend of a friend, because that's how we found out who the people were that robbed him. Because the deal was set up through an old roommate that was supposed to be evicted before we moved there. But he's also the way that Eric was able to find the house. So he's like trying to wheel his way back in. He got robbed for $1,600, and then they're supposed to come back to make it right. And then that's when Eric said that they're going to give me some shit as a down payment. And that's literally, like, quote unquote, they need some shit. That's why I didn't know.
Then Martell told detectives what he did after the shooting.
After that, Tasha yelled my name. I came down there. why don't you come out here? Why don't you do anything? I said, these niggas got guns. I don't. I'm not running out into something that I don't know what's going on. And I went up to Eric, and he was face down, his arm out, kind of like extended. I remember seeing the .22 shell in front of him, but I didn't really see much else. The curtains were kind of down. I'm not sure if they were all the way down or not, or if any glass was broken. But he was bleeding from the front. I didn't see any blood in the back, so I'm assuming that it was his .22 that he got shot with. I never found it. My thought was that whoever did it took it with him and threw it over the bridge. I mean, that's just what my thought, because if I was in a predicament like that, I would have taken the gun and I would have threw it over the bridge.
That's what he would have done? Detectives were now listening a little more closely to what Martell was saying. He went on to explain where he thinks the suspect is.
They were from Pine Manor, so that means they had to go over the bridge. I only know that because Nikki identified who they were the day before that. And because she called one person and they hung up. And, oh my goodness, it is such and such. And the next day, I guess the guy contacted Eric, so if you go through his Metro like call log, you'd probably be able to find out who it was. And I could probably get a name too, or a number, but I don't know how you guys go about your confidentiality and other people in the case and all that stuff. I've been with Kat the whole time and nobody's known where I've been at.
He's telling detectives that Nicole knows who the suspects are. Detectives had Nicole in another room and were prepared to ask her if she does actually know them. But they wanted to hear more of Martell Gray's story. He wanted to explain to detectives about the group leaving the scene and returning moments later.
We took off. It was five of us. We got around the corner. Natasha said something about going back to get the safe. My girl took off with it because she wanted to get my ID. They get out the car, he finishes going around the block, parks at that gas station. When I realized they don't have phones, they said that they were going to go somewhere. And so no, just stay here, I'll be back in a minute. But I didn't have no way to, you know, to leave that area, I'm not from around there. I ran, closed the house, I hollered in there, and then they were there. She had my ID, I grabbed her medication that she prescribed. And we walked down the road. That's when we kind of went to the mobile. I told her that Tasha needs to call the cops, because I wasn't sure what was going on. I knew that they were together, and I explained to her, I was like, if she got shot, I'd stay with her and I'd call the police. And she didn't want to do it. So we started walking away because there was a car. Was it a blue? I don't think it was a Chrysler. It was something close. It might have been the Chrysler, the black male in it. what Kat said is that he circled a lot because I went in there and I went to the bathroom. I knew that the odds of him trying to hurt us in a public place with cameras were limited. So I went to the bathroom, and when I came out, I don't think he was here. And we walked towards the Publix because I was trying to get back to Fort Myers. I wasn't even sure where I was going to go. We turned off Hancock and we got kind of lost in this development. I ended up at the end towards what'd be like a golf. It was just waterway like everywhere, so there was no way to get to North Fort Myers from where I was. That's when we told Tasha that we can't have you just like take off with us. You need to tell them. She knocked on a random door, and I don't know what she did after that, but we told her that we were gonna watch to make sure that she did that, because she just kept wanting to leave. She was scared that she was gonna get in trouble for something. We expressed to her that, you know, she's a juvenile, which, so after that, I didn't have a phone because mine was already, it was broken, and I was broken and lost. I don't even know where it's at no more. So I want to get a new phone after I leave here. Hopefully I do. And his phone got thrown in one lake, and ours got thrown in another lake. The safe got ditched, but I guess you guys found the safe already. No, it was in there when I looked. It was looked like it had already been pillaged. Like there was just stuff everywhere, which was like empty bags. There were a few watches that I seen, and I don't know, might run like a coin or two. We started making it towards Fort Myers. We ran into two people that we knew, and I was like, look, I'm in the bad spot, I need to ride to Aldridge. And from there, I called my dad, and I told him I needed a ride down to San Carlos, and I just sat there, and that's pretty much where I've been. I've just been sitting until I came here. I didn't have a phone, so I really didn't contact anybody. I just let my dad know I was okay, because he's my only immediate family besides Kat. And she was with him, so.
Detectives continued to listen to Martell's statement, which was beginning to sound scripted or rehearsed. He told detectives earlier that he lived down the road from Eric, but his girl stayed there, but then told detectives he wasn't from around there. But what did they really take from the house? And why would they get rid of Eric's cell phone? Detectives were fed up with the story Martell was telling.
So, you guys are trying to separate yourselves from her. You go back. You take some more shit out of the house for God knows what reason. Multiple bags and backpacks you guys took out of the house. And then you leave, get rid of cell phones. So now you're f***ing with evidence from the scene, tossing that in the river. I don't know what's on the cell phone, but clearly it's pretty important and damning towards someone.
You guys can look up the records. So I can.
You clearly didn't want to call 911 for your friend, because
we did call 911.
You guys made up some bullshit and call about there being gunshots, man. No one even gave us the address. Y'all were trying to send us in the wrong direction so you guys could get the guy out of there, is what you were trying to do.
Well, then they said St. Clair or Orange Grove, one or the other. I didn't have the phone. And I wasn't trying to call because I'm on probation and I'm already dealing with enough shit. Last thing I need to deal with is a murder case.
Detectives wrapped up with Martell letting him know that people were pointing the finger at him or at someone in the house. Martell's story was very shaky to say the least, and they would most likely have to sit down and speak to him again. You'll have to take notes if you want to know all the people that were home during the murder of Eric Duff. Detectives were now sitting down with Caitlin Gillespie again because they just learned that laptops were removed from the crime scene, and Caitlin was doing a bad job of covering it up.
Where did you put it when you guys left the house?
If it's important, people know to put it in those bags. You know what I'm saying? So
where did it get put when you left the house?
We got taken off with a friend. I mean, it's not our laptop. You know, it's not mine. I can't tell you about it or what's on
you,
it.
Listen to me.
Mine.
You can tell me about it, okay? That's why I'm here. Okay. Did you have it in the bag when you left the house?
It was in the bag when we left the house.
Was that the bag that you were carrying?
No, it was not.
Who was carrying the bag?
I can't remember if it was me, Junior, or her. I don't know. All I know is she had a black bag. There was a red backpack open all the backpacks. And half the things in those backpacks weren't ours. Half of them were trash. They didn't even work.
Where are those backpacks now?
One of the laptops got thrown out because it doesn't work.
Where are the backpacks now?
I honestly don't know. I just know that there's backpacks.
Okay.
I don't know between here and between Aldridge and all the places we've been. I don't know where everything is.
Where did you leave the backpacks when you left the house? Because you didn't carry them with you the whole time. Where did you leave the backpacks when you left the house?
I honestly... After the backpack got through my hands to Aldridge, I don't know what happened to it.
I'm not talking about to Aldridge. When you guys left the house, you stashed them somewhere. Where did you stash them?
When we left the house, backpacks were with us. I don't know.
Detectives were reaching their breaking points at the fabricated stories that Caitlin and Martell were telling. Detectives were starting to understand that most of what they were getting from Caitlin and Martell was nothing more than a scripted version of the truth. And why would someone who has nothing to do with the murder remove items from the crime scene? And who is this man named Dredd that everyone keeps speaking of? An answer, detectives hope to find out very soon. It's now April, 2 months since Eric Duff was murdered in cold blood inside his North Fort Myers home. On April 27th, 2017, major crimes get a small breakthrough in the case. The murder weapon was recovered. The Lee County Sheriff's Office Fugitive Warrants Unit recovered a firearm at a traffic stop. Raheem Fields and Shanquasia Harris were the occupants of that vehicle. The firearm was later determined through an NIBIN match to be the weapon used to kill Eric Duff. The firearm was a pieced-together Glock 27, and prior to being able to interview him, Raheem Fields was a victim of a homicide in the city of Fort Myers. Shanquasia Harris was interviewed and stated that she was dating Fields at the time and was unaware there was even a firearm in the vehicle. So detectives had a weapon, but the person in possession of it had died before he could be questioned. The progress gave the detectives the hope they needed to find the person that took Eric Duff's life. Detectives were able to speak to a woman named Teresa. She admitted to being a supplier and had some new insight into the murder of 32-year-old Eric Duff.
Well, that Dre's mouth because her mouth personally was going to be hit.
So it was a hit?
Mm-hmm. It was a lick.
Because of the dope deal that took place
before? That was bad.
Okay.
And Eric called him talking shit, so then it was revenge at that point, and it was also for the money.
So was Dredd selling to Eric?
I was selling to Eric. Eric was peddling to Dredd.
But you sold Eric bad shit?
No. Eric couldn't get a hold of me, so he was trying to go around me because he didn't want to wait, and he went through them instead, and they sold him MSN instead of ICE. Because I was waiting for my shipment. My shipment wasn't here until the next day.
So how much bad shit?
A couple ounces.
Dredd sold that to Eric.
Yeah. Who was with Dredd when they did that deal?
When you see Dredd, when we go over there, when Brian shows us his house, the guy's always with him. I don't know his name, but he never talks to the little friggin' black guy. But I've never dealt with him or anything like that. But I know that before you guys got there, that Eric was already dead for 2 hours. I'm pretty sure, the way Dredd said it. I think so.
What's the deal with that? Did anybody, at the house, help Dredd or anything? Or, set it up?
I personally think Tasha was involved in it.
Junior. I think Junior was involved, but that's just me.
Listen, the way it was, it was more for everybody to get stuff out of it and everybody to turn their heads.
Yeah, because so Junior's trying to up and come, too.
It's not even about that. It's about...
Were the other people in the house, were they going to get a cut of whatever was taken from Eric that night?
They were more scared. They know what was going on.
Yeah.
The guy that's on the computer, I don't know his name, I don't talk to him much. I always cut him out.
The short, skinny guy?
Yeah. So I always cut him out. He was there, though. He knew it, too.
I know.
He witnessed the whole thing. He watched Eric get shot.
I believe you.
And he's just not testifying. If you guys actually picked him up and said, we have someone that knows you told them you watched him get shot, then he's going to tell you, yeah, I did see him get shot.
I believe you. I think they all saw it.
Until you tell them, we know that you did this, they're not going to do that.
I believe all of them, though, who did it.
You ever know, does Fred carry guns all the time?
He ain't going to fire at Leo. He's gonna fire somebody in the street. He wasn't trying to fire that night. Eric looked. Eric fought back. Eric was gonna fight back no matter what. I tried telling them that. They didn't want to listen. Eric, he's strong.
fucking fighter. He's not gonna take. People thought that he was just gonna lay down. They think that if you put a gun in someone's face, he's gonna lay down. When I got robbed and they came in on me both times, I wouldn't lay down. I'm not taking shit. And that's how I feed my kids.
More people are beginning to come forward. With the help of a tipster, detectives were starting to learn the possible identity of Dredd and, at very least, his known associates. Plus, the cell phone records are starting to come in on Eric's phone. The last number Eric called was a number owned by a man named Ivan Dahl. Ivan was in custody at the time of the interview with detectives. He was being held on charges of battery, battery of a law enforcement officer, drugs, and home invasion. He denies knowing Eric or anyone in the house. He did, however, admit to owning that number. Ivan claims that phone with that number he loaned out multiple times. Ivan was asked multiple times but could not remember who he loaned it to. What Ivan didn't know is that both of his numbers were pinged at the guest court address on the day of the homicide. Most of Ivan's interview was just informational, due to the fact that he claimed not to know Eric Duff at all.
Did you ever go into Cape Coral or down Hancock or anything, like anything west of 41? Would
no,
your
sir.
Deal
you
be
me that last time.
Right, okay. I'm just trying to make sure. The reason I ask is because when we've been talking to people throughout this, we had someone tell us they saw you driving a car right after the murder at the scene.
Driving a car?
Mm-hmm.
One thing I do, I can't drive. I ain't got no license.
Right.
So therefore, I won't drive, and I can't drive.
Well, I'm just letting you know. Someone picked you out of a photo lineup.
Yeah.
As the person driving a car.
It wasn't me.
Let me show you something else, too. All right?
Yeah.
That phone number that people are riding around with?
Yeah.
Okay. We'll start with this one, all right? We're going to go through a time frame here. This starts about 12:15 here.
Yeah.
Comes down, goes over. That's the murder house right there. It's clearly pinging there. Okay. This is 12:20 or so in the morning.
Yeah.
And then it comes back over and goes back over here. And your mom's house is like in here somewhere?
My mom's house on Skipton.
That's like in between Marsh and Nuna, right?
It's way out the Marsh. It's off of Ballard and Nuna.
Off Ballard. So here's Ballard and here's Nuna. So mom's house is in there somewhere. All right. You understand how these work? These are phone phone towers, okay? So when people are using their phone and data is getting transmitted, it bounces off towers.
Yeah.
What these circles mean is this is the direction that you're in compared to that tower.
Yeah.
Okay. And this is a close-up of the house where that happened and how the phone's going there. Now, coincidentally, your phone, or, you know, whoever's phone, the one that you had for a while, and the gentleman who ended up dead pinged off the same tower at the same exact time.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yes, sir.
So, what was the deal? How's your phone over there then?
Like I said, I wasn't using that phone. And they can't say I was a driver or nothing because that wasn't me.
Well, I'm just telling you what people have told us.
Yeah.
Ivan was given a warrant for a DNA swab and was transported back to the Lee County Jail. He never had an explanation on his whereabouts on the day of the homicide, nor did he have information on who had either one of his phones. A year has gone by since Eric Duff was gunned down in his home. Martell Gray and Caitlin Gillespie get charged with tampering with evidence for removing items from the scene of the crime.
Exactly 1 year after the murder, Martell Gray and Caitlin Gillespie were jailed for evidence tampering, accused of removing items from Eric's home before they even called 911. But outside of those two arrests, no one has yet to be held accountable for his death.
More people have come forward as this investigation continued throughout the years. The names Dredd, Action, and now a new name, Jit, are starting to come up as detectives work the leads. As things started to look like the detectives would have to start back at square one, something wild happened. Detectives were introduced to Christine Riley. She was incarcerated at the Lee County Jail on a non-related charge. She had reached out to detectives to give them some information on who killed Eric Duff.
Kat was there. You know, she lived with Eric in that house with her boyfriend, Junior.
Mm-hmm.
And she explained to me exactly what happened. And, you know, she was just, she said that T-Baby and Jit and there was a couple other people that came in the house and they had drawn guns on Eric. And I guess, you know, they shot him. Jit was the one that pulled the trigger.
Okay. Do you know who he is?
Yeah, he's actually in jail right now.
What's his name?
Jit.
What's his real name?
Oh, I don't know what his real name is. But if they'll know who I'm talking about. He's a big drug dealer in Suncoast.
Jit killed Eric, something they were told already. So other detectives went to find out what Jit's real name was, and the questioning of Kristen continued.
Did Caitlin say why these people wanted to rob
Eric? Yeah, because Eric had been going around and he'd been, not like scamming people, but like ripping people off and stealing from people,
mm-hmm.
Like from Jit, you know, robbing people, basically.
Okay. So. Now, have you met Jit before?
Yeah.
How many times have you
met? My boyfriend worked for him. My boyfriend worked for him.
Okay. Now, how do you know which Jit she's referring to? Does she give you an exact name?
Well, yeah, specifically that Jit from Suncoast.
Also wanting to talk to detectives 2 years after the murder of Eric Duff was James Lennon. James was incarcerated in the Lee County Jail at the time of the interview and said he had information detectives didn't know yet. James was a tattoo artist who stayed at the house at guest court briefly with Eric Duff and was not at home at the time of the murder. He was able to identify who Jit was.
You had known about a person named Christopher?
Mm-hmm.
Christopher Gloucester. What's his street name?
Jit.
And you mentioned that you worked for him,
mm-hmm.
selling the stuff at the time. Are you guys like acquaintances or just friends or boss employee?
For a while it was just me going and buying from, you know, from his people. And then it became a boss employee relationship.
About a year after the incident, Jit, a.k.a. Christopher Gloucester Jr., told James Lennon a statement that floored detectives.
Now, you said about a year later, after this incident, you and Chris were drinking, or Chris was drinking, and he told you something.
Right.
What did he tell you?
He said that he shot that pussy-ass cracker, It was over $1,600 in bad ice.
Okay. Do you know any more about the bad ice? Like, what was wrong with it?
It was rock salt.
Who sold did Chris buy the bad ice?
I'm not sure who the bad ice was sold to and who, you know, I'm not sure which side of which that was on. But I just know that somebody bought bad ice and he was shot over it.
How do you know it was Eric Duff?
How do I know?
Yeah, no, we're sure that he was talking about when he said pussy-ass cracker.
Because we were talking about it.
Oh, you were talking about Eric?
Yeah.
Okay.
James told detectives that Christopher Gloucester Jr. confessed to the murder directly to him. Then he told detectives a statement that tied Christopher to the scene of the crime.
What happened after he shot?
He said he chased Tasha into a room and told her he'd come back for her, and then he left. He
said that?
Yeah.
The investigation continued as detectives now know who Jit was and was actively looking for Christopher Gloucester Jr. They put out a bolo and continued their investigation. They were able to find him after he was arrested during a Lee County Sheriff's Narcotics Unit roundup. Christopher Gloucester Jr. refused to give a statement to detectives in 2019. By this time, it had been 2 years since the death of Eric Duff and detectives were not giving up. Detectives have now located Action. Action's real name is J.W. Hardy. J.W. is a convicted felon and had a long criminal history of drug dealing, robbery, and a laundry list of other charges. JW is the driver of the white Caddy, and detectives had a chance to sit down with him because he also was in the Lee County Jail.
Did you know a guy named Eric?
Yes.
The guy killed?
Yes.
Okay. Well, tell me what you guys' relationship was, what you know about.
Before we get started, do I need a lawyer?
That's up to you.
We're not charging you with anything.
Yeah.
All right. Because, see, I was just at medical, and I seen the guy that was in the house when he got killed. And he asked me, "Yo, what's your name? Where you at? I want to write your letter." Now I'm down here, not even 24 hours later.
I legitimately didn't even know anything about that. Seriously, that's just a coincidence.
Yeah, well, too, I'd like to say if I need to take a lie detector test, I'm willing to take that, too. I had nothing to do with nothing.
Okay.
All right. I knew Eric through Junior and his girlfriend, Kat, just to sell weed.
All right.
Right, to buy weed from and smoke weed. And the particular day that he got killed, they were at a house on a golf course. And I met him out there. Later on that night, this is when I heard that he got killed.
You met them at the house where he got killed?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Did any of them drive at that house? Like, was there cars in the driveway or anything?
I'm not sure. I know that at the time, I had a great Cadillac.
Was it just Junior and Eric in the house when you guys went there, or was there other people?
So when I was there, I'm gonna say Junior's girlfriend Kat was there. Eric's girlfriend Tasha was there. There's two other people there too, which I didn't know. Well, I've seen them before, but I don't know their names. Okay. Male and female.
They live there, or are they just hanging out?
I'm not sure. I'm not sure.
Did you mainly just deal with Junior and Kat, or did you deal with Eric too?
I knew Junior, Kat, and Eric.
Oh, you knew them all.
Yeah,
okay.
And Tasha, yes.
How long had you known them for?
2 months, maybe 3 months.
Okay. Do you remember how y'all met?
At a house on Elbridge.
That night when you went over there, did they reach out to you, or did you reach out to them?
Basically, they called me and told me where that guy needed some weed.
Did Eric seem like hanked up or anything that night? Was he acting weird? Or?
Not at all.
No, just normal?
Not at all.
What time were you over there that day? I know you said you were there earlier.
Anywhere between 11 and 2 o'clock, I'm not sure.
11 in the morning to 2 in the afternoon?
Yeah.
Okay.
Did he mention, I'm pretty sure he did, I don't know if you remember, mentioned a problem that he had with two people, sold him some bad dope?
No.
No, I didn't. Lied to you, we were told you might be the man that can put that final piece of the puzzle in the middle and help us make it make sense.
Right.
And I don't want you to be worried about, because we're not here to charge you right now, I don't want you to worry about that stuff, we simply need to know the truth, because we don't know right now if it's a self-defense thing. We don't know if it's a cold-blooded killer thing. I don't think it is, but... Or this simply thing has got out of hand. Because I don't... If you do have some answers, I don't want to find out later with all this new information that you had answers and you told us you didn't. You know what I mean?
Ask whatever you want to ask me. I'm going to tell you to go and take the...
Who did you see at the jail that was in the house?
The guy, Junior.
You know what he's in jail for?
I seen on TV for tampering evidence of a homicide.
But him prior to today?
No, he called my phone from the county jail saying that they needed me to come down and be clear for forensics.
He called you?
Yes.
When was this?
This was like when it first happened. So that should be on the record. It should be, should have the number and everything from when he called me. Mm-hmm.
Did they call you like after this went down? How long was it before you found out what was going on?
I got a phone call that night saying shots fired. Can I come and pick them up?
Okay. Where did they want you to pick them up from?
From the house.
Oh, from the house. Okay. Yes. Did you go over there?
No, I did not.
Do you know how they got out of there?
From what I've heard, they ran.
Ran. Okay.
They didn't know anybody who did it. They know it was shot for fired or whatever, and they ran out the house. I didn't even know anything about tampering with a body or anything like that. They never mentioned nothing.
They obviously had, these people had to know where this guy lived. So
I have no clue as far as what might have transpired, why he got shot, or whatsoever.
Who do you think would be best to know what's happening over there?
I would say Junior and Cat, because they were with him. Like, that's what I seen earlier that day, and from them being in the house and from them calling me, you know, after the situation took place.
Right.
So I don't know, you know, and see, that's why I was wondering, why would you call me and not 911?
That is a good, valid question.
What did he say when he called you?
He said, shots fired, can you come pick me up?
Did he tell you, he didn't tell you who shot?
No, he just said, shots were fired.
Did you come pick him up?
No, I did not.
You want nothing to do with
that? No.
Did you ever get an inclination from them that maybe they might have done it?
To be honest with you, I try to stay as far from it as possible.
Yeah.
You know, like I said, that's the one reason why I did bail his girlfriend out of jail, because she called me saying that she was locked up and she needed to get bailed out. And I went, I think, I forget what her bail was, I think I paid like $100 or $200 something to get her out. And that was it.
I didn't know if they were like trying to sell a gun or have like more stuff than usual with them afterwards or anything like that.
I didn't see him afterwards.
Okay. What's the deal with his girlfriend, Tasha?
I don't know. She was real quiet. You know what I mean? She, I knew she was young. I knew that much. You know?
Sure.
And I've seen her afterwards.
Okay.
You know, like, matter of fact, last time I seen her, I'm gonna say I seen her and her mother, who was at a hotel. Cause you know me, I never had a problem with Eric.
Right.
You know, and matter of fact, Eric had I think he had gave me some dog tags, and I returned them to her. You know, what I had seen, I said, listen, this is what I have from him. You know, this is what he gave me. You know, cause you know, I understand the streets with that murder shit. You know what I mean, especially in. I'm not prejudiced nothing like that, but I would never. I can't see, you know, he doesn't look like a gangster to me, doing any gangster shit or anything like
right.
that. You know what I mean? Like all these other gangs are starting like Bloods and Crips out here on the street. So for something to happen like that, you know, especially the same day I just seen him, you know, and when he first came home, I remember giving him $100. You know, I just came home, he didn't have anything. I gave him cash, and this was on. That's how I met him on Elridge.
I know Eric sold more than weed. Were you ever into any of that stuff?
No.
Okay. Were you ever there when he had, like, other people over selling them anything, nothing like that?
That was my first time ever at the house.
Okay. How long have they been living there?
I'm not sure. I first heard about the house. They were telling me they were getting a house. I remember he wanted to get a security system for it.
Mm-hmm.
As a matter of fact, he sold me a security system. Cameras and stuff like that, but this had to be like maybe 2 or 3 weeks.
Okay. Where was he staying before that?
I'm not sure.
Uh-huh.
I'm not sure. I would. The house on Elridge was the go-to house.
Okay.
Off of Crystal Drive or whatever. That was the go-to house.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where I met Junior. I met Cat through Junior, and that's where I met Eric.
Okay. Do you know if any of them ever had like guns or anything?
No.
Yeah.
No.
How many times have you talked to Cat and Junior after this?
Well, Cat I spoke to a few times, like I told you, I bailed her out.
Sure.
Junior, I'm gonna say that I spoke to him one time.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't even know he was out of jail. And Cat put him on the phone. And I was hesitant, matter of fact, twice, when I told you he called me from the county
jail. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And then, yeah, called me from Suncoast.
Okay.
He was out, I think he was, he had got out, I think they were over where Tasha was staying at the time.
And did they ever bring up what happened?
No.
Did any of them that you talked to ever say if they saw anything inside the house that day?
No, only thing I heard was, they were looking for a guy with dreads.
Oh. That doesn't narrow down much.
Right, yeah, that's, you know. And I heard that from Kat.
Okay. Did she tell you like where that info came from?
No. Mm-hmm. No. Like I said, she really didn't really talk about it too much, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Cause I came over to Elridge one time, and you know, they all did their own drugs, whatever the case may be.
Mm-hmm.
But you can tell when someone's been up a long time and been spaced out or whatever the case may be, and you know, they would go outside and come and do back windows and stuff like that. So I would sit there for a minute, you know, because I would see police parked down the street. I didn't want to leave with any weed on me, you know.
Yeah.
But I remember one day she was like, did you come and you see a guy with dreads? You see a guy with dreads? I was like, no, there's nobody out there. You're tripping, you know. You know, I swear, it's like the same guy that I seen at the house. I was like, what are you talking about? Like, she sounds spacey, though. Mm. You know, and so I never really thought too much of it.
Did she ever give a name or a nickname or anything to the guy?
Never.
Did you ever see anyone over at Aldridge or their house that had dreads?
No, I was the only black guy over there.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
All right, man, well, I appreciate it. Like I said, if you think of anything new or hear anything, please reach out, all right, man?
In 2024, a warrant was issued for the DNA swab of Christopher Gloucester Jr., and he was picked up by the Lee County Sheriff's Office to perform the test. Crime Scene had recovered a shell casing with DNA on it and had yet to find a match. Gloucester Jr. could be the match they were looking for. They asked him to answer some questions. He asked for a lawyer. The results of the DNA test are still pending. The death of Eric Duff on that dreadful February 8th in 2017 is still unsolved. What happened that night seems cut and dry, but the questions that still remain are some detectives need answered to. Was Tasha, Nicole, Ryan, Caitlin, and Martell in on the murder of Eric Duff, or were they just in the wrong place at the wrong time? Had the tension between Martell and Eric reached its boiling point to where he arranged for the murder of Eric Duff? Did Eric Duff sell bad drugs to Christopher Gloucester Jr., or did Gloucester Jr. sell bad drugs to Eric? Was Ivan in the car or the house at the time of the murder? The fact is that there are a number of possible answers to these questions, and we're hoping you might help detectives find the answers. Detectives would like to re-interview everyone involved in this case. So if you or someone you know was mentioned in this podcast, please reach out to the Lee County Major Crimes Unit at 239-477-1000. The investigation into the murder of Eric Duff is ongoing and more leads are coming in every day. Detectives feel like there could be another person who is out there who knows more about what happened to Eric. In 2019, there was a Crime Stoppers report released on Eric's murder. His family was interviewed. And we are going to play the Crime Stoppers report in its entirety.
There hasn't been a day go by in the last 2 years that Dennis Duff hasn't thought about his son Eric's last moments of life. Gunned down in a brutal attack in his North Fort Myers home, this 32-year-old father was ambushed, quite possibly by someone he knew.
When I walked in that house and saw where all the blood was and everything, I've relived that a million times in the last 2 years because I walked in and I could just imagine what had happened there.
On the night of February 8th, 2017, detectives had to break the news to the Duff family that Eric had been murdered in the house he'd just moved into a few weeks prior. It came at a time in Eric's life when everything seemed to be falling into place, between being a father to building relationships with those closest to him.
He didn't deserve to be murdered like this and taken away from his family and his little girl. He didn't deserve it.
It was also during this time that Eric was helping out some people who are questionable at best, and those people likely know far more than they've shared with detectives. Exactly 1 year after the murder, Martell Gray and Caitlin Gillespie were jailed for evidence tampering, accused of removing items from Eric's home before they even called 911. But outside of those two arrests, no one has yet to be held accountable for his death. At this point, family members are making sure to keep Eric's memory alive, especially with his six-year-old daughter, Ava, who still doesn't know the truth of what happened to her dad.
No, they don't. They won't tell her. They only told her
he was an accident.
That there was an accident and her daddy died. And she said, well, why can't the doctors put them back together?
They also spend each and every day praying for justice and for someone in the know to do what's right and share what they know.
It could be the smallest thing. You might think it matters, but it could. It could be the one little piece of the puzzle that could solve this thing.
It's a message that Eric's dad echoes strongly.
God knows who did it. And I pray that God will just put it on somebody's heart so strong and so heavily that they have to call and make a statement.
Giving up is not ever going to be an option. Till the day I die, I will search and I will try and find the person that did this to my brother.
Eric Duff died at a young age. He was a father, a brother, and a son, and friends of so many. What happened to all the drugs and money that Eric was in possession the night of his murder? What was on the laptops that Caitlin and Martell made off with? Was there security footage or something else important on them? Will the DNA on the casing be that of Christopher Gloucester Jr.? The answers to these questions are still being sought, and the Lee County Sheriff's Office Major Crimes Detectives are determined to get the answers. We are seeking closure in this case and justice for Eric Duff. If you have any information regarding the murder of Eric Duff, please call the Lee County Sheriff's Office at 239-477-1000 or report it anonymously with Crime Stoppers at 1-800-780-TIPS. All callers to Crime Stoppers will remain anonymous and will be eligible for a cash reward. Tips may also be made online at southwestfloridacrimestoppers.com or by submitting a tip on the P3 Tips mobile app. Additionally, you could download the Lee County Sheriff's Office app and report directly to Crime Stoppers. This has been the homicide case of Eric Duff. Please subscribe to the Seeking Closure podcast and listen to other episodes available. You may just know something or someone who knows something about the murder of Eric Duff. I'm your host, Jason Jones. Thank you for listening. You stay safe, Lee County.